This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I am Kate.
How's it going, Kate?
Good. It's cold here. Is it cold with you?
Freezing, yes. Very cold.
Did you guys get snow?
No, you know, we were supposed to. I think we might get it tomorrow. What about you?
We had flurries. Just north of us had snow. St. Louis had a lot of snow. I saw on Umpson's page that they closed.
I saw on the news today that St. Louis had a comet.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was on the news while I was at the gym. Like, a big comet went past the arch.
How cool.
Yeah, made the news all the way out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we had a flurry of snow. It didn't stick, but it was kind of pretty. It was cold and kind of pretty, but I just wanted to be home curled up in my bed, and I had to be at work, which is fine, which is good. Good and healthy to go to work.
Yes. And you're really powering through it, huh?
Yeah. I'm getting there. We're getting through work every day. I've been on a spree of retinal detachments. I don't know if it's the time of year or what. Also dry eyes, but that makes sense. And then just working every day to get better. I've been in practice long enough that I've had some patients that are like, I don't know about her. You know, it just, not in a bad way, but like, I'm just new. And so they're like, can I see Dr. So-and-so, like our main doctor? Because I just want to like, I just don't know if she's right. And then I'm always right.
Rude.
But you know, hey, I get it. I've been there at doctors where I've been like, ooh, I want a second opinion because I'm not sure about you, which is fine. Totally fine. But like,
doesn't feel great.
I just always feel bad as like, and so I always feel like kind of this wrench to my gut. And then, but at the same time, like I have some patients that are like, I love you, you know, like I've had several contact lens patients lately that are like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And they're like, I haven't been able to wear contact lenses in years. This is fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so I was like,
what's your secret?
I don't know, just sticking with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've had a lot of really good, really solid patients that I, and then every once in a while you get a frustrating moment and you're just like, oh, what do I do? And then you do good things and you help people and just like, lots of good stuff. So.
I felt like I was super optometrist on, I guess it was just yesterday, I felt super optometristy because this LASIK center called and was like, which of your optometrists would be willing to do an outdoor trial frame refraction? They were like, Dr. Simpson will. And I was like, please don't volunteer me for anything ever again. But I did it and it was actually really, really fun.
So like an outdoor, like the patient just wasn't able to get inside?
No, he was a bus driver and had keratoconus. And when his pupil constricted, I guess it made him look through a really strange part of his cornea. So he wasn't to the point of needing contacts. Anyway, so I refracted him outside and he got to 20/25 through a lot different prescription than his normal one. So it was good. I'm glad we did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, keep somebody working.
That is super optometrist. Yeah. I think something that we're going to do this week, and you'll see it on a lot of different things because I just had this idea and we will do it now, is I want to share each person's super optometrist moments.
Like when you went above and beyond.
Or not even above and beyond, but you just felt like, man, I did good. You know, like this rocked. And it could be like, I had a tough multifocal fit and that patient was so happy. Or like, I caught X, Y, and Z. Or I just had a blast with a patient and they referred somebody new to me. Or, you know, like I was able to help a family in need. Or I gave a kid glasses for the first time. Or I gave an adult glasses for the first time. Like, when did you feel like just like, oh, I'm a boss. Like, I'm just owning the game and like killing it. And so, we'll have like a little box where you can add it to your story. And then we'll share our superhero optometrist moments. And then if you feel so inclined, always feel free to post it on your Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. LinkedIn, whatever works.
Awesome. Let's revisit this at the end of the podcast. This is a good idea. So what's for lunch today?
Today, for lunch, we are going to have soba noodles.
Ooh, I love soba. Tell me more.
Well, today we're going to discuss the Kutu movement and dressing at work. Like, what does this mean? Like, as a woman in optometry in the world, what does this mean in dress codes? And like, is that oppressive? Is it helpful? Like, what does this mean to us? And so the Kutu movement just kind of inspired us to talk about it, because recently I was looking at Insta and I got tagged by New York Eye Doc about the Kutu movement, where they were currently in Japan. They're saying that women cannot wear glasses in the workplace because it's not feminine enough. And it's very unfeminine to wear glasses, and it's not acceptable. And so several workplaces are banning glasses, and you have to wear contacts.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of women that are like, whoa, no, I don't want to wear contacts, or I get better vision with my glasses, or I can't wear contacts, or like a whole host of things. And it shouldn't matter, you know? No. And so that just kind of inspired us today.
Why would... I mean, I know there's so many things that go into like a dress code, and so much of it is just nonsense. Like, a company can tell you how to wear your makeup. A company can tell you what kind of shoes to wear. They can even tell you what kind of bra to wear. Like, ridiculous stuff. But why glasses? Why would glasses be considered non-feminine or make a person seem cold?
I don't know, but I was reading more about the Kutu movement, and it started when Japanese companies started telling women that they needed to wear high heels at work all day as a part of the dress code. So there was actually, women were like, heck no, techno. Like, that does not sound fun at all. So it started by Yumi Ishikawa. She's a Japanese actress. She started the Kutu movement, and it's based off of the Me Too movement in the United States, as we're talking about sexual harassment. She started it because at her work, she had to wear heels between 1.9 and 2.75 inches.
What? That's ridiculous. Yeah.
So she said she works at a funeral parlor part-time, and she said she'd be much more productive and efficient if she could wear flats or sneakers during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she complained on Twitter, people were like, yes, we agree. It's gender discrimination at work that women are forced to wear uncomfortable shoes and men don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference. I think everything in our world can be broken down into force and choice. Like, I love a good pair of high heels. Like, sure. I wear heeled booties to work. I wear heels at work. I wear good block heels at work that I absolutely love. I'm on my feet all day. They're comfortable to me, those block heels. Mm-hmm. Other shoes, not so much, but some of my boots and stuff, I love wearing all day. Mm-hmm. But when somebody tells me I have to wear them all day, if my feet hurt one day, I strained a tendon in my foot and it hurt. And so I didn't wear my heels.
Yeah.
And so if I had to wear it, I'd be upset. So there's a difference between a choice and a force.
Yeah.
I think that's where I want to choose.
I was reading back to a presentation that you and I gave when we were in optometry school about eyelash serums. And in it, we cited this lawsuit that happened in 2004 of this woman who was suing because the dress code at the casino where she worked required her to wear mascara, and she ended up losing the suit because at the time they said that wasn't an unnecessary burden to wear mascara. But like, it's so stupid. Like, I don't like these dress codes that are sexist. Like, I don't even know like where you draw the line between a dress code being reasonable and a dress code being unreasonable. But some of these dress codes are unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. Like, I always think back to junior high, where your shorts had to be longer than your fingertips or your skirt.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
And some of us. Yeah, because also some of us have really long arms.
Yeah, that's really what I'm thinking. Really long legs. Yeah.
Yeah, and some people have short arms.
Yeah.
And you can find things that cover more. Like me, I only ever wore capris or longer because I couldn't find anything that would be long enough otherwise.
And I bet that got hot and was really unfair and uncomfortable.
Yeah. 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 Gosh. What if I wanted to wear shorts to school?
Yeah.
Always on the last day of school, I wore short shorts, which for me were just shorter than my fingertips. Because what are they going to do? Kick me out on the last day of school?
I was just reading an article about optometry dress codes and like suggested optometry dress codes. And these were just from like even a couple years ago, like just prior to the Me Too movement, like 2015, just before the Me Too era. And like it's amazing how quickly things have changed since then, because like there's a big chunk in this article about taking into account patient perception of how what you're wearing and like, oh, is that too revealing? Oh, are you going to be like provoking unnecessary attention or unnecessary comments? But nowadays, like, it's kind of like the patient should be on their best behavior. You're in the doctor's office. Like, don't be commenting on what the doctor is wearing. They're here. They're the authority here. Like,
exactly.
And there's no doubt in my mind that that doctor isn't wearing a bikini. Like, I'm sure that she is wearing biz cash.
Yeah. No.
Anyway.
And also, there's, well, because also we, like, work in a medical setting. So there's, like, some things that are, like, medically necessary, such yeah. as, like, in certain places, closed-toed shoes in yep. a lot of hospitals and facilities. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. You have to have those toes covered. And mm-hmm. that's because it's more, and like, you have to have gloves on and like certain things and like wear full pants and different things.
I have a question about this. What's the verdict on open heel shoes?
It's usually toes and heels covered.
Okay.
But open heel shoes, I think where they are, where that toes and heels come into play is like you walk like heel toe.
Uh-huh.
I wish you guys could see my hand motion right now. So like heel
toe. It's really good.
Uh-huh. So your heel gets most contact with the ground and your toes do. Mm-hmm. So it's the most opportunity for dirt and other bacteria to kind of enter in.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the sides of your foot, there's not as much contact there.
Remember when we were in Oklahoma, how that was the rule? My partner in Oklahoma only brought like open-toed shoes. And so she had to buy like a whole bunch of like, what are those things called? Knee highs. And then yeah. she was allowed to just, like, wear knee highs with her open-toed shoes.
Yeah, so, yeah, each place has, you know, unique, and there's cultural differences as well.
Sure.
Whereas, like, I can't say that what's okay here in the Midwest would be okay other places, or in, like, California would be okay other places, you know, in here or New York or whatever. Like, there's so many different things that I can't, even within the United States or beyond,
mm-hmm.
but we walk this fine line as doctors though. Like, I feel like I have some clothes that I'm like, that's like my going out with friends. That's hanging out with people that's outside of work clothes. And then I have work clothes, mm-hmm. you know, like, and nobody at my work has ever said, you cannot wear that off the shoulder shirt. That is way too revealing,
mm-hmm.
inappropriate, unprofessional. Like, nobody's once said that to me.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I feel like that is not my best professional look.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wouldn't be able to practice my best if I wore one of my off off the shoulder tops. But that doesn't mean for somebody else, that doesn't mean that you might feel like that's their most professional self.
Yeah. They may think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. And so I sometimes think dress codes come into play because the person in charge has like their idea of what they want their environment to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they want some of that control. Whereas if they set the culture, then people are going to people are going to dress to that culture. Like at mm-hmm. our office, really none of us ever wear jeans or anything of that nature. And nobody ever wants in any of our things says you cannot wear jeans, but it says when you're representing our company, you need to be presentable and look clean and put together.
Mm-hmm.
So never once have they said, you can't wear jeans. You need to look this certain way. But it says, you know, when you're here, like you need to represent who we are in a clean and presentable manner. So you have not always been an optometrist.
No, that's right. Several
jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had dress code weird issues?
I have, yes. I worked at a restaurant. It was a barbecue joint, and we were like encouraged to, I mean, this wasn't weird. This was kind of like the opposite of a dress code almost. Like we had to wear t-shirts and jeans, but the t-shirts from the company, which was fine. But we were encouraged to like cut the t-shirts up to make them unique and like our own kind of like cut up t-shirts, which is like,
yeah,
trying to like make it a little bit more revealing, but like, I'm sure that's what they were going for, but that's the kind of place it was, which is like the opposite of optometry.
Yeah.
Where you're like, cover it up versus like, just show a little bit more skin as you're delivering this brisket to the table.
But I think there's like a two-edged sword, because some places are like, show me everything.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a Hooters. I didn't work like at, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Hooters. Oh, Hooters dress code is ridiculous. Have you ever seen their manual?
No, like, I haven't seen
their manual. I think you can get their manual online. It's really wild. Oh, you know what else is messed up is like how they can require people to have certain hairstyles in dress codes, because that like it's not culturally sensitive, I think.
No, I don't.
Did you ever have to have a weird dress code in your jobs?
When I worked at K-State, we always had to have purple on, but
that's fun.
Yeah, that was just a part of, and you always wanted to, because it's just like a part of the culture there.
Yeah.
So it was never like terrible. The only thing I was thinking, but is that when I was an orientation leader, we had a panel and one of my friends, wore a skirt. And when she sat on the panel and afterwards, it was a skort, so she had shorts underneath it. But afterwards, they were like, you know, that just, it just doesn't look very well. So it'd be really nice if, it would probably be better if you wore shorts. And because when you're on the panel, because otherwise people think they're looking up your skirt, even though we all know you're not, we're not.
Yeah.
It just is. And so I understood that. But at the same time, it's kind of like, oh, bummer. You know, like she wanted to wear it. And so, but really... No, I've never had super weird dress codes. I've always also kind of been my own. I've never really worked in a place where I had to have, you know, like one thing over another. No, I hadn't really ever. And I think that sometimes when I hear these news about you can't wear glasses, or you have to wear high heels, or a girl's tank top is less than two fingers and she must go home, and I think there's always something interesting and there's a reason why somebody has come up with that. But I guess I don't understand sometimes when some of these rules don't seem to be freeing but seem to be restrictive.
You know,
I feel like we could do a whole episode on like high school dress codes, when it's like girls are supposed to be, you know, dressed so boys don't get distracted. I think people started some of the rules that way, but I think some of it is they could also have just rephrased it and said that we're trying to help students be in a safe learning environment where they feel like they can be valued for their education rather than what they're wearing.
Mm.
But instead they say, well, boys get distracted when girls show their shoulders.
How do you feel about tank tops at the office?
I personally don't wear tank tops usually in the office. Sometimes I'll wear a dress that has some, but I'm also weird about armpits. It's like a thing. Like I don't want to see them on anybody. I just want to pretend like armpits don't exist. Like that's just,
oh, no.
And that's a personal thing. Like, I just remember I met this gentleman for the first time. I was at band camp in Illinois. I know we're just, this is where we're going.
Okay.
And he was wearing a tank top and he had lots of hair coming out of his armpits. I'd never seen this much hair in my life from any armpit ever. And it was dark and he was wearing a white tank top. And I just was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. Cause it was like, you could see it at all times. Like there was so much hair.
Oh my gosh.
So much hair.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I think that moment, I literally remember that moment. I can imagine everything about that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that scarred me for life. Definitely.
So you're an anti-armpit person.
So I just feel more comfortable myself when I have, you know, some sort of short sleeve on. And that's just me. I have like little short sleeve sweaters, everything. And that's just me personally. What about you? That. What are your thoughts?
I'll wear a tank top in the summer just because it gets really hot and like we're working fast. Like I need to not breeze. Be sweaty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no,
I'll wear a tank top, but like a shell or whatever it's called. Like one of those, like not like a, not cash.
Yeah.
Like I'll just.
No, I know what you mean by shell.
Like something you'd get at Loft.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I've stopped saying 100 just in case anybody was curious. I'm now on to 100%. You can cut that if you want.
No, I'm leaving it in.
I think, like, I want to figure out a way to help support the Kutu movement of, like, helping women feel empowered that they can say no to unfair dress codes, such as wearing high heels, such as not being able to wear glasses. Mm-hmm. Not just because I like wearing my glasses over my contacts. That's just a personal preference. But because I think that it's just, there's so much more when it comes to wearing contacts compared to glasses. Like there's so many more components. And if somebody feels really happy in themselves in that, in glasses, I have so many people that come in and they're like, I just like myself when I'm wearing, when I'm in my glasses. Like that's just my identity. It's like a part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to say, no, you can't have that. It's just, it's not, I don't think it's fair. And especially since it's a medically necessary device, like I don't think it's, I don't think it's fair.
So how do we do it?
We'll do some posts. We'll do a post and a story about Kutu on our Instagram here soon. But interesting thing is back in 1986, and there's equal employment opportunity law in the United States, which is outlawed the unequal treatment for men and women, in the United States when it comes to the workplace. And so know that if you're having issues similar to this with a dress code, like there is opportunities for you to kind of get better. Mm-hmm. So I think the best way is to raise awareness and help, because there's no way for me to go be able to change a whole culture and change everything.
Yeah.
But Evan and I are trying to go on a Japan trip this next year. So maybe I will go and change the culture. We'll see. So so maybe when I'm over there, I can connect with really cool people to be able to, you know, kind of hear their short stories. And maybe I find like restaurants and things to frequent where they are in support of the Kutu movement. And a lot of those things, like we find opportunities to support those that are supporting this and trying to shy away from places that are forcing people to wear high heels or not allowing them to wear glasses or something.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think I'm going to do a little bit more research as my action item of like recent news items and like lawsuits and things where people have come out on top, but like combating discriminatory workplace dress codes. And I'll post about them on Twitter.
Yeah. So things to look for this week is we're going to talk a little bit about the Kutu movement on Instagram. And because I have a new planner, so I can have all of my thoughts in here. And then also come and post about your favorite optometry superhero moment. What's your optometry is your superpower. Talk about it. So do hashtag opto superhero. So
good work.
That'll be good.
I love it.
It'll be a fun little kind of trail to see. So kind of follow us on our socials. Also, always feel free to reach out to us if you have some cool idea for our podcast or somebody cool to feature. Like we'd love, love, love to be able to kind of, collaborate with just cool people.
Tell us what you're up to. We want to know what's going on with you.
Yeah. And cause like, I only know like what I see. And so if we're missing something, like tell us about it. Just like Brené Brown said, like no more, you know more, so you know better. So
awesome topic, Kate.
Thanks guys for eating some soba with us.
It was delicious.
Go eat some soba ice cream.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, okay.
Until next time.
Bye.